Let's see if it see if okay. Yeah, good. There you go. All right. There you go. Got it.
You good to go?
I am good to go. So we're all dealing with our technology, you know. I definitely wasn't a computer science major, that's for sure. How's everybody doing? How you feeling, Pammy?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks.
Good, good, good. I'm glad you're feeling better. So so just as a way of background, this is really very informal.
Okay.
It's really, I want to be more of a conversation, and I may have a few conversations with you, so don't feel like we're going to get to everything here today.
Uh-huh.
Second one, my test was with my Uncle Pete. I had to catch him early because my Uncle Pete goes to bed at 4. He's in his pajamas by 3:30 in the afternoon. So
what time does he get up? Goodness.
This is the funny thing with Uncle Pete. He gets up at 5:33 in the morning. He said, not 5:34. 5:33 every morning. That's
right.
So he is, but it was, then I just,
so he's
very regimented. So I had to fit myself into him. And then I just set one up for, I was talking to Perry Wright. I'm sending one up with Mr. Wright.
Okay.
It's going to be good to be able to get them. And so I have a few of them on cue. So all this really is that, you know, we've talked about the West End Center.
Yes.
And the idea is for us just to capture stories, not so much mm-hmm. stories that we want people to tell us, but, and as you can see in the questions, part of it is I want to get a sense from you about if you're describing this to, say you're trying to describe this to Jordan, someone who has no mm-hmm. idea
right,
what
right,
the
right.
West End Center is, how would you uh-huh. describe the, what stories would you tell that would give him a sense of what that what the place
what
to
was.
You, what it meant to the community. And so
yes.
this is all we're really
okay.
talking about. So I'm starting off with just start talking okay. about what's your most memorable experiences with the West.
Okay. Yeah, actually, Richard, when as a upper teenager, I volunteered at the center.
Awesome.
And I would answer the phone for Mr. Adams. And
okay.
That had to be in 1950, between 52 and 54.
Okay. How did that come about? How did you come about getting that position?
I don't know. Actually, I would just go to the center and then, you know, he didn't have anybody answering the phone. And I started doing that. And
right.
so I would go a few hours to answer the phone. But actually, my most memorable time there was getting married there as one of the many people that got married at
That's
the West
right.
End Center. And it was like, the center was like a central place for the community anyway. And, you know, I thought about it and it was a place for all ages because the young people could come there and they had crafts and, you know, recreation for the kids, older people, clubs met their meetings and that sort of thing. And then a lot of times people would say, where are you going? I'm just going over to the center. And they just go there to socialize. Mm-hmm. There wouldn't be anything actually planned, but you just go there. And it was that kind of place. And, you know, and I think about when my brother came there and Billy Brooks came there in 61 and he was the assistant to Mr. Adams.
So that's when I was trying to figure out. So he came at 61 as the assistant to Mr. Adams.
And he stayed he was there until it closed. Mm-hmm. And he was really an asset because, of course, he was certainly a full adult and all that, but he was closer to the children, to the young people, like getting out of high school. And so he was able to work with them, get them grants and to write letters of recommendation for college. And that kind of thing. And, I just think about that. And it's so for the young people now, I mean, because that was the center, as you know, for black people, we did everything there. And for the young people now, they need to know that when we weren't wanted at the community house, we had a place to go where they get emotional support. And just things that they would need. And as I say, educational information.
You mentioned Mr. Adams. Were there other adults? Because part of it is, you know, capturing you and Uncle Pete. And when the West End started, you all were children at the time when you were started. I think Uncle Pete shared that.
Yeah, we were young.
Football when 45, where he was, you know.
But this was 70 years ago or something.
Right. So Mr. Adams was an older adult. Can you remember any of the other adults that might have been working with Mr. Adams, or was Mr. Adams sort of the core person that you remember?
He was, as I remember it, he was the core person. I don't remember anybody else until Billy came, then he was there. And by him being at the center, that made him get involved more in the whole township, which is why that building is named, that Jim Wreck is named after him, you know, on Church Street. It's Billy Brooks Wreck. But it all started from him being at the West End Center.
Well, for me, he was my Mr. Adams, like for my generation.
Right.
You know, really knowing
because the kids
Adams,
called him Mr. Billy.
Synonymous with, you know, sort of, I have very sort of childlike memories of the West End Center. Most of my experiences with Mabel Dawson, that was more of my recreation. But it's been interesting just to hear about people having relationships, like you said, as children.
Yes.
And as teenagers, and then as young adults. Yeah. And so that there's different kinds of engagements that were there. And so that was your experience too, that there were all ranges of ages that used the center?
Yeah, used everybody. Yep. And there was even a daycare there at one time.
Yes. I saw that. I found an article in the paper about a daycare. did you know anybody with that, or?
I don't remember. Richard, you're testing my memory now, and I can't remember. I don't know who was there with those kids.
It's okay.
I don't know who had those kids. But
I'll take whatever you remember. Whatever you remember, I'll say.
You're talking to him. Stop laughing so hard,
Ben. I feel the same way. I'm thinking, I don't really remember much. I just remember going there. I never lived in Morristown, but people thought I did.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you how many people actually said that. Like, I didn't live in Morristown, but people thought I did because of their connection to the center. So how did you, was it with your mom that you ended up?
Yes. Well, you know, my grandmother lived on Walker Avenue.
Right.
So we were cut through that. Now I believe there's a driveway that you can walk to the back. I mean, there's no center, of course, but my cousin Michael has a house over there. So I think you can just cut through now. But we used to just walk through the little path. And I would just go there for, you know, my cousins, Veronica and Teresa, because every weekend I would be in Morristown with them and participate in the crafts and whatever they had going on at the center. You know, but that's basically all I remember. I don't know. When did it close? I don't know what age
I was.
68.
And then they tore it down in about.
I was 70s, well.
Like 72, 73.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, so that's how, you know, it's funny. I was saying that there were a number of people that my mother said that a lot of people thought my Uncle Glenn had gone to school there because he spent so much time at the center. They just assumed that he. And one of the things, Ken, that I wanted to explore with you that came from my uncle was how, just like you're describing, Pam, the center also was a place where people would come from different areas. Yeah. They come from Palmyra. They come from
places. And they would
connect. And was that your experience?
They would have the Friday night dances. Mm-hmm. And people would come from all over. All the black people.
And I haven't heard of, is there any place in other places in Palmyra or other places that was comparable to the West End Center where people from Morristown would go, or was it pretty much?
Well, there was that place in Palmyra. What was it called? Meadowbrook. They would go, that people would go there, but that was just more for dancing, but it wasn't like, it wasn't a center like West End.
Right. My Uncle Pete mentioned that same place, and he said the same thing.
Did he?
Pretty much for dances. It didn't have the sort of the breadth of
No, no.
He also said if you had an event at the West End Center, by definition, everybody was invited to come to it.
That was what I was going to say that. Because back in those days, where do I get this echo? I'm getting an echo. But anyway, those days, West Town only had about 10,000 people in it. And so all black people knew each, we knew everybody. And if you had something, you had a wedding, everybody was there. You invited everybody. You pretty much invited all. No black. But it was the truth. That's the way it was.
Mama describes him going to Perry Wright's second birthday party. And she said, that was the best birthday party I ever saw for a 2-year-old in my life. So everybody's going to be there. So it's one of those things where if you have an event there, it was a community event, even if it was a personal.
Yep. It was definitely the community center.
Right. Now you sent that picture of you going to the library, that picture library at the community house. So black folks did go to the community house. What would you sort of describe as the difference in how the community house was and how to Morristown and how the West End Center was to the black community in Morristown?
Well, the community, when I would go to, I can't stand this echo.
Well, Mom, do you have two devices on?
You need to mute
one of them.
Maybe I can mute one for her. Let me see if I can do that. I think I can mute. I don't remember which one to mute here. She has one of them muted.
Oh, she does?
Yeah. So, because this one is muted. I'm going to see.
Okay. Oh, now they're both.
Yeah. So now they're both muted. Let me unmute. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to unmute here. Can we unmute here? Oh, it's giving me it's not giving me the ability to unmute here. Let me see. Okay, so I'm sorry, let me ask to unmute. Now that's strange, I have the ability to mute but not to unmute. Let me see here. Why did I do that here? Let me. Let me try to see here. Can she unmute? Can you tap there's a little microphone at the bottom of your thing. If you tap on that, it should unmute. There you go. Let's see if you get the echo now. Go ahead, Ms. K. Still getting it?
I'm trying to turn off.
So what are the two? She has two devices set up because I have two Catherine Halls.
Yeah.
What's the other one that has your picture? Is that?
But I'm trying to cut the phone off. But it won't go. Oh, okay. I got it.
You know what it is? It's probably the sound on the other one. Even though it's muted for you speaking.
I got it now.
There you go.
Okay. We're good.
You set? All right. Yeah, that's better.
I finally was able to get it to leave the meeting on the other one.
That's okay.
Now, what did you ask me?
Yeah, this is when we both need to go to the notes that I have, because then I can go back to the notes and it can tell both of us what we were talking about. So let me see here. We were just talking about here. See here. Just give me a second. Oh, the difference between your experiences with the community house and West End.
Right. Well, we'd go to the community house. It would be just to use the library or, as I say, for story hour. But that was about the only usage we had at the community house, because we certainly couldn't use the pools.
Right.
Of course,
right.
As you can see, I was a little girl then, so that was a long time ago, maybe 80 years ago or something. But that was the difference, because at the West End Center, everything was available. I mean, whatever the things that they had to be available was available for everybody. But we were limited to what we could do at the community house.
Right.
And I, as I say, spent a lot of time in the library because I was a reader. And then, of course, go for the story hour. But that was about the extent of it, Richard.
Right.
We didn't have.
And you're muted, Pam.
You're muted, Pam.
I might have done that inadvertently.
Okay. I was just saying, I don't know when that changed, because I swam there at the community house as a child.
You did?
With no problems, yeah.
It changed. There was a period where, because I think our generation sort of, I was able to swim there. Greg was able to swim. But I think we knew we were the first group to be able to do that. And so I'm going to try to find out when that actually changed.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm thinking it probably was in the early 60s, maybe, that it might have actually made that shift. Because, you know, the interesting thing, and I would really be interested in your thoughts now. I'm going to work backwards. Because there's a myth. The mythology about how and why the West End Center closed, right, in 68. And I know you were an adult at that time to be a part of the conversations. And one of the things that seemed to, just in our storyline, the West End started, it's almost the history of segregation. West End started because Black people couldn't access the community, and there was this center that was both underfunded, but at the same time, because it was Black, they left it alone. So it's a public institution that was much more responsive to a community than most public institutions are. Then as we got into the 60s and people started to say segregated things aren't right, that the West End Center was viewed in a different light, as something, not as something that was providing services to the community, but something that sort of an example of what was being denied to the community, because we had to go here and couldn't go to the community center. So I'm kind of curious how you remember that conversation around the West End Center closing.
I'm telling you, because by then I was not in town.
No.
So I was living, I was married then in the 60s.
Got it.
And so I wasn't there. So I don't know, I really don't know how it came to find, you know, how the conversation went, that they would close it down completely. I really don't know. Don't know, Richard.
Now, how did people, Mr. Charlie was a part, Mr. Hall, he was a part of the blue chips that started there.
Yeah,
so he had a relationship. Did he go to the center connected to that?
Yeah, because Billy and Perry Wright, Mr. Wright, and I think your Uncle Bill Harvey, they were the three main ones who started the Blue Chips. They were the three, and I think the Blue Stiff, that came out of them going there to shoot pool and play cards, and then that's how the club started, you know, formed, and it went from there. And at one time, every man in Morristown have somehow belonged to the Blue Chips one time or another.
So that's a place where I actually, when we were going through Uncle Bill's stuff that he had in the outhouse out in the old place and back, and I found a crate that had about 7 or 8 albums, photo albums, of all the Blue Chips. Right?
Yep.
And you saw from the 60s with the thin ties and everything all the way to the 70s, where everybody had the apples and the bright colors and ruffles and everything. And the same thing of the wives as well. And there
with
was a
big,
of the history of
me
the
with a big blonde wig on my head. Yes. it was so high.
Do you remember the Blue Chip events and the Blue Chip dances? There were Blue Chip.
Oh, absolutely. Trips. I mean, that was the highlight every year of everybody was getting, you know, back then you wore gowns and everybody was saying what they're going to wear, and they had, and because of Billy's connections, he was able to get Lionel Hampton there at one of the dances. And he had Trudy Haynes And remember the newscaster in Philadelphia, because she was a black newscaster. Yeah, Joe Black, he went to college with him, and Joe Black was a pitcher for the Dodgers. And they would be the guest speakers at these dances. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a big deal back in the day, going to the Cherry Hill Inn for those dances.
I saw a couple of programs of that. Yeah, that I think you had saved some of the programs with the Lionel Hampton.
Yes. And the mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so the blue chips were a very important part of the West End because they provided scholarships and so forth for young people.
Gotcha.
And so they weren't just a social club.
Right. You know, and that's what it was a typewritten history. It was in mm-hmm. in one of the albums that talked about how it started off as they were playing like I said, pool and pinochle in the basement. And
yes.
They decided, listen, we're sitting here playing around. We gotta do something more purposeful than just playing pinochle.
Yeah.
And that's when they started the idea of the chips. And they asked Mr. Adams if they had permission to redo the basement of the West End Center and raise money
uh-huh.
and sort of talked about and then how they were gonna give scholarships to folks.
Yeah.
And even some pictures of some folks like Mr. Bryant, who was my seventh grade teacher, getting a scholarship, uh-huh. you know.
Wayne Bryant, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's so
yep.
One of the things that did come up, and this is why the connection with Second Baptist, I saw that Reverend Griggs was one of the advisors for Second Baptist. And there seemed to be an interesting relationship between Second Baptist and the West End Center, and a different one that existed between Bethel and the people in Bethel and West End Center. Were there any things that the church did that were connected to the center that you knew of, or was that before? I don't know the dates of when you know, you were connected with different institutions to be able to sort of know.
I really can't give you any info on that.
Gotcha.
I really can't.
Okay. Let me ask you a question about, just as like you said, one of the things that came up, I did the talk at the Morristown Library, and then one of my friends asked me, he's the director of the Evergreen Retirement. And so we asked me to do it at the retirement home. Saw Dr. Dow, who was my dentist back when I was a kid. He was mm-hmm. blessed to have my teeth. And so there was a part of it where, when my Uncle Pete came in, he was like the president of his class his sophomore year. So he mm-hmm. had these groupies chasing him. All these people. And one of the people that, when my Uncle Pete talked, there was this disconnect between what white folks in Morristown sort of knew about the experience in Morristown and what black folks did. And he said, listen, I don't go to reunions because I didn't really do much. You all went to the dance at the gym. We went to the left and went to the dances Saturday night at the West End Center.
At the center.
Right. And so if we're talking this, you know, part of this effort is to to really give people an understanding, particularly white folks, an understanding of the experience. Is there some part of what you would say to someone who's white about why the West End Center was important for black folks that you think they would need to hear, particularly in this moment, like something that white folks didn't know that was important about the West End Center that you think?
We had to have a place where we were welcome. First of all, if you went to these other places, they may let you in, but you weren't welcome. Just like when we went to the movies, we had to sit in the back. Mm-hmm. The Criterion was on Main Street. They didn't have a balcony. I guess otherwise we'd have been in the balcony. But we had to sit on the back two or three rows in that movie house. When I went to, I was in the last graduating class from number 7 school on Church Street. I don't know if you remember. Yeah. No, there was a school. And that was the last class. But when we, number 9 school was, of course, where the white people went, junior high, we went to 8th grade and number 7. But we would get their old books, and they would get the new books. So there was segregation all along the way. Mm-hmm. It was just not acknowledged, but it was there. And I don't know what to tell you as far as telling other you know, white people, what, how we felt. But I just knew that we felt welcome in our own area because we knew we weren't welcome there.
That's pretty straightforward. I mean, that's, and that's consistent with what, yeah, what people have been saying.
Yeah.
There's a whole nother story about number seven we need to do. That's a whole, that's come up. I think there's a whole, part of number seven where it not only is number seven, but there is, and I got all these things I'm going to do in my retirement. One of the stories is the black educators that have come through out in and through and out of Morristown. You know,
yes,
Ms. Baylor, Mom, Ms. Hattie,
Ms. Hattie, Mrs. Branch,
Bounds, right? There
Mrs.
were all
Webb,
these folks,
Mrs. Bounds, right, yeah, a lot of
all these folks that really were sort of central in my own life. My uncle has he has a very different experience with Mrs. Baylor than I did.
You know, she was my second grade teacher.
right.
Mrs. Baylor was my second grade teacher.
Right, and so there's a whole story that I would love to tell about that. But that comfort was really the most, people have said you were comfortable being there, which is why, you know, you would go to the community house, but you didn't necessarily feel like you were comfortable when you were there for that time.
Yep.
Got it. There was something else I was thinking about with how you were feeling about the experience with the Morristown. It was comfort, and also I was curious about the connection with one of the things Uncle Pete said, he never saw my grandmother go to the West End Center, and so I was wondering, do you in your experience answering the phone for Mr. Adams, do you remember the kinds of, and I'm pushing your memory on this one, the kinds of things that he would ask you to do, or the kinds of, do you remember sort of his life at the West End Center, his role, how he interacted with people at the West End Center?
Well, he was a very easygoing man. Mm-hmm. So he was easy to talk to, and the kids, they respected him. They truly respected him. I do remember that about him. And people would call on the phone, and I would take the messages. He was always congenial, would return calls, and you were just comfortable with him. And he just had a connection with the people. He was slow moving because he had like a disability. His neck didn't turn and all that. So he was slow moving, but he was perfect for the job. I don't even know how he got that job. I don't know how that all came about.
Yeah. I haven't heard the story about how he got there, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But I am interested in the story about how.
I think his son still, he used to live in Morristown and Farmdale.
Is that Joe Adams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Adams. Is he still around?
Yeah, Joe's still around. I'm still waiting to see Joe smile. I think I've known Joe for almost all my life, and I've seen him smile once. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's a very nice person. Like, it's not like he's not a happy, really, but a great sense of humor. But he does not smile. Like, his face is always the constant. So if you didn't know him, you thought he was disgruntled all the time, but he really isn't. But that's good. That's a whole set of people, Pammy. So your age, I want to talk to Bruce Austin. Bruce was also a person that I really associated.
Yeah.
With the Parks and Recreation. I'm curious, how did Mr. Brooks, Billy Brooks, how did the connection happen where he sort of did he come to the center and then did Mr. Adams take it, or did he ask? How did that connection happen?
Well, he came to the center like all the other young men did at that time. But because of his interest, not in kids, if he was interested in the kids, and then he did sports. You know, he was the first black referee in the state of New Jersey.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I have all these newspaper. I got all the stuff out of newspaper articles. Please,
can we get all those things? Because we want to be able to get those things archived as part of the.
Yeah. I have lots of newspaper clippings, and because it was a big deal in 1960 something when he went through what he had to go through to get that accreditation. And so because he liked the kids and he would work with them. So I guess that's how he somehow hooked up with Mr. Adams. He, as I say, he went there like all the other young men, just to shoot pool and then it just, he ended up being involved, really involved, and then went on to be involved with the whole township. But,
Please, yeah. I want to definitely get anything like those articles just to be able to get them. We're going through the process with the Historical Society. We have a scanner and our ability to sort of archive all of those things and make them a part of more stamp.
Next time you're on the block.
We'll do
that. Next time you're on the block, I'll give you that kind of stuff and you can,
that's terrific.
You can have it take it and do what you need to do with it.
Terrific. And I'm finding there's a theme with Mr. Adams, because he did this, the same thing, like you just showed, you know, were there and helping, and all of a sudden now you're answering the phone and you're actually working there. And the same thing with, and my Aunt Marie told the story of when she wanted to go to the Girl Scouts, the only Black Girl Scouts troop was in Palmyra. And she went to Mr. Adams to say, you know, she would like to have one there, that he didn't just go and do it for her. He said, well, okay, you want to raise the money? And she ended up having to do some of the things to be able to do it. And she said, that's how I learned to be a boss. Like, you know, she said there was a part of it where they didn't do for you. He created a situation where you could participate and then eventually you could do for yourself.
And Lucy Sutherland, I don't know if it's her mother or grandmother, was our Girl Scout leader. Your Aunt Marie and I, she was our Girl Scout leader.
Yeah.
But, and that all took place at the center.
Mm-hmm. So you remember being a part of the Girl Scouts? There?
Oh yeah, I wish I could find the picture. There's a picture of me and Marie and a couple other ladies with you know, when we were Girl Scouts.
Is that right?
Yep. And that also.
About what? How old were you when that picture was taken?
I guess maybe 12, 13, something like that. Something like that. I've got to find that picture again because it was an 8x10 picture. But I'm like your mother. I have got picture albums all over this house. Pamela, I know they're going to cuss me when I die.
I've been loving going through. I have a whole box of just the circle of friends and copy. So I got a whole box of pictures for you, just of other things that I'm going to.
Yep. I told Pammy one day, I said, Richard's never going to get finished because you're going through all this stuff and you're posting it and you're never going to get finished.
It never ends. And you know, funny, I was going through this big, plastic bin and it looked like it just had used, but, you know, reusable gift bags in it. And then go through the bottom of it. And then Mom had a bunch of albums in there that were in there. And then below that were all these pictures and picture albums. And Perry said he's clearing out the house, the house of his father in Morristown. And he said, Rich, I've got more obituaries. Like I've got at least, you know, everybody. And it really is important things because it chronicles who people are and
have the same thing. I have a lot of them.
I have a folder of them too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned
the sports, and maybe it's a part where we can think about how to connect it. I was surprised that there were actual West End teams. Randy Holmes, I just saw his name come up on my Facebook news. Uh-huh. He showed me a picture of, I guess it was in the mid-60s, there was a basketball team. There was a West End basketball team, and they traveled around. And then I didn't know Uncle Pete was a part of the West End football team that was started a year afterwards. So it seems like recreation was and sports were sort of a core part of what the West End did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, look, Ms. Kay, I'm not going to keep you long. Like part of this is I'm going to probably listen and there are going to be stories here that will come back and maybe, you know, add on and follow up on. I really definitely want to get a connection going deeper with, you know, with Mr. Brooks because he is so central to, you know, for me, the connection between the West End Center and Maple Dawson. You know, he was my experience, the person that I call as sort of the central person there. And then, there's always something after the fact. You say, no, I wish I had told Richard this story. I wish there was something.
Yeah.
So I want
to. I'm going to jot it down. If I think of something, I'll jot it down.
But before I go, is there anything anything that I didn't ask you, anything that you wanted to share that you think would be important to know about the West End Center that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
I think because I had to jot it down a couple of notes, and I think I hit what I had on my paper.
Good.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. And just so I know, when did you leave Morristown? You lived in Morristown, and when did you leave Morristown to?
In 1954.
In 54. Okay.
So what happened between that and 68? You know, I was in and out, but I was not living. You know, I was married, and I was living for 12 years. I lived in Camden, and then we moved to Willingboro. So.
Got it. Is there anything that Mr. Hall, Mr. Charlie might have kept that was related to the blue chips or anything that was related? Because he was an officer in the blue chips.
Yeah. I've had blue chips books and, you know, there are books and things around.
Okay.
So they're out in the garage somewhere.
At some point, if you wouldn't mind, I would.
I will see. I will.
I'd love to go through anything. We're good at going through boxes. I tell you that. We can take advantage of it right now.
You should be a pro now. and have you made a dent?
We have. We started to make a dent. You know, we're going to do one of the things that we wanted to do, the initial part of it is there were just things to throw out. And there were things we didn't really want to just give away. We wanted people to have them. So Mom had all those hats. And so.
Yeah.
And so it was nice that Gwen actually sort of had the hat out for, you know, the folks, the ladies in the church to be able to pick a hat of Mom's that they wanted. And we were able to give things away, but she's got a lot of nice crystal, but she had these bowls and everything. We don't want to just give away. So we're hoping that they land in a nice place. She has all this artwork that we're going to also try to figure out where it lands. And so if you want to come over, there's any piece that you want. And we also, it was little Gregory who did this, you know, when he was really upset, he's like, what are you going to do with grandma and mom's stuff? And I said, we're going to figure out how. He said, well, I don't want you just to give away something that has grandma's spirit in it. And so we said, you know what? We just thought about it, that there may be something is there something that you would want that would just be something that you would want to have as a way to be able to remember? And so he said, I got to think about that. You don't ask little Gregory, there's no little small talk with him. Like, you know, don't ask him how he's doing if you don't want to sit down for a few minutes. But we also want to make it a bit, if there's anything, you know, that is something that you want to have that is sort of a reminder of. And we really wanted the things to land in places that.
Yeah. Gregory said you thought you might have a yard sale or something. Yes.
Yeah. He's there, man.
That's work.
Yeah.
That's work too.
It is.
Yeah, but Gregory was over
the house. Everything's out. The whole upstairs is clear, except for a lot of furniture. And we're at the age where we're going to get some helping hands to bring that furniture down.
Yeah.
I'm going to dress it down.
Greg said it's heavy.
Yeah.
Greg said it's a chest of drawers. It's so heavy. It's solid wood.
It is. Mm. Yeah, there's a couple things And so we're going to have them to help us. We have all the furniture pretty much out of the living room. And so most of the things are out. But we've been putting the things in the garage. So there's a lot of Mom's crystal and different things that are there. And that'll be a part of what we do with the yard sale.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, I know once when you have your yard sale, you had given her a robo vacuum cleaner thing, you know, one of those I will buy that.
Oh no, we just have that. You don't have to buy it. I'll make sure I'll call Greg. He'll bring it to you today.
Is Greg today?
He's there. He should be there. Yeah, he's there. We're getting you'll probably see a large dumpster because we're going to start to move out some of the larger things that just aren't going to be able to get out. But she actually has one, and then we have one that's in the box. That's both a vacuum and a mop. You know, also you can put things in and it'll clean the floor. So you have your choice of either one of them.
Okay.
Right. I'll be sure to let him know that you want that.
Yeah. But Greg was over the other day. We were talking and he told me little Gregory says he wants to move to Syracuse. and he said when he gets stuff in his mind, first he was going to New York Then it was Philadelphia. Now it's Syracuse.
That's funny. I tell you, there was when I went to, this is maybe about, it must have been about, I'm losing track of time. I say something's 3 or 4 years ago and it was 10 years ago. It was probably about 10 years ago, maybe about 8 or 9 years ago. And that's when Hunter was out in school.
And then and
little Gregory was in that program that was helping.
Yes.
Him. Great program. And I go to dinner with him. I was out there for a conference and I go to dinner with him and Hunter, and Hunter goes off. She's going with her boyfriend and I hop on the light rail with little Gregory, and little Gregory's like, okay, Richie, you go this way, that way. And he hops off the light rail and just goes into the city. And I just remember thinking, what is he? I don't know where I'm going. And he's in that city. And he was really thriving in that city. And Greg really wishes he could have stayed there, but it was
stayed out there.
It cost $40,000 a year for the program, and there was no financial aid. And so when he brought him back, he wanted to send him back to Denver, but little Gregory didn't sort of understand why he came back. So when he came back, he thought he had done something. He thought that he had done something that required them to bring him back. And so
him back home.
He hasn't wanted to go back. Hunter's wanted him to come back, and he really would thrive in that city because he has friends there and he has a job. And
yes,
it was really, but Syracuse is a new one. I had not heard Syracuse.
but Greg made me laugh. He said, well, he's living a good life. He has his own area in the house. Somebody cooks for him. I said, well, why would he move?
There you go. That's true. That is the truth.
Okay, right. Rich.
Well, thank you, Ms. Kidd. Love you.
Love you, too, and thank you. I hope thank I helped you. You a little bit.
You know, you helped me a lot. And like I said, I'll be following up, maybe shorter things just to go into. And if there's anything, like you said, if you find that picture, I would love to see that picture.
Okay.
But if we, and when I come, I'll connect with you and maybe go through some things. And a lot of times even artifacts will jog people's memories about particular things.
Okay.
And at some point we're going to get on tape that story about Mr. Spence driving back.
And could not see that Ben Gimble sign. I'll never forget that. And the next he was declared blind.
He driving in the first place. You're like, that's what we said.
And we were sitting back there. We didn't have any sense. We just laughing and digging and driving along with the man 2 weeks later was declared blind.
Well, thank you both.
Oh, thank you, Rich. Take care.
You do the same. Thank you, Pammy, for helping us set it up.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.